All right. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Like Tiu said, my name is Diane, and today I will be speaking on Acts 2, 37 to 47. And so as Tiu has mentioned to me, that as a church community, you are currently going through the theme of practicing the faith. So this afternoon, we will be taking a bit of a detour from Proverbs, and we will look at the spirit-filled community of the early church found in Acts 2, and hopefully we'll find some wisdom there to help us apply our faith in our everyday lives. And so before we dive in, let me share a little bit about myself. Again, I'm Diane, and for 8 years, I served as a campus pastor and chaplain at the University of British Columbia, UBC, in Vancouver, Canada. Like Tiu and Alex Chow and maybe others here, I did my graduate studies in theology at Regent College, and now I'm in Scotland because my husband, David, over there, who is also a Regent alumnus, is pursuing his PhD at the University of Edinburgh. A fun fact is that Alex is David's supervisor, and also, he shares an office with Nuam and Barbara and Jackie that are here today. How exciting. And so we've come to visit here at ICTIS a few times before, and the last time we were here was when Nuam was preaching a couple months ago. And so being here in Scotland is a big change for me, and I'm now working, as Tiu mentioned, as a student advisor at Harriet Watt in the business school. And so I'm very excited to have the opportunity to put my faith into practice in the workplace, though it is definitely challenging. And throughout my time as a campus pastor, and even during my graduate studies, I was always very interested in marketplace theology. And I always encouraged students that I met with to practice their faith in their classrooms and in their workplaces. And so now I have the opportunity to walk my talk. And so I find God very funny sometimes. And so enough about me. Let's now dive into our passage today. And before we do that, let's pray. Put this down. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this time that we can gather together and learn from your word. Thank you for the gift of community and one another, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us today. God, will you illuminate our hearts and our minds, Lord, as we jump into this passage and learn more about you, Holy Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So, what is happening in this passage? So the first part of the passage that was read to us by Benjamin is right in the middle of the action of God's epic story of redemption. There are lots of things to unpack here. So the verses that preceded this are all about the coming of the Holy Spirit during Pentecost, where the disciples were gathered in prayer a few days after Jesus' ascension. The disciples must have been incredibly unsure about what Jesus meant when he told them that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Jesus even encouraged them not to leave Jerusalem until they receive the gift that the Father has promised. And sure enough, a few days later, during a festival called Festival of Weeks, which commemorates the first fruits of the harvest, coincidentally, it was during that time that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in the upper room. So Luke, the author of Acts, and also the author of the Gospel according to Luke, tells us all about this outpouring of the Spirit. We are made to witness a drastic change in Peter's character. We have to remember that only 50 days before this event, Peter betrayed Jesus 3 times, and he hid when a girl asked him if he was a disciple of Christ. And now we see this striking change in his character. And so that festival day, Pentecost, was a really busy day in Jerusalem. Think about the crowds that we see here in Edinburgh during the Fringe Festival. There were lots of pilgrims in Jerusalem from all corners of the ancient world, and yet Peter fearlessly proclaimed Jesus' death and resurrection with such clarity and conviction. And so after hearing Peter, many people were deeply cut to the heart and filled with remorse, leading them to repentance and the desire for baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And so what did Peter say to the crowd? In the preceding verses, Peter directly quotes the prophet Joel, and he correlates what happened that morning with a prophecy that was spoken hundreds of years before, that the Spirit of God would be poured out on all flesh. And what's even more incredible is that God, through the prophets, promised that a remnant of Israelites would be saved. And so the fact that God did this during the Festival of Weeks, when Jews from all over the ancient world made a pilgrimage back to Jerusalem, is all the more significant. They heard the message of Christ, and 3,000 of them were saved that day. And this speaks of God's faithfulness to his promises and his covenant people. It must have been a really exciting morning. People even thought that they had a drink at 9 a.m. And in the midst of all of this excitement, we see later on in Acts 2, 42 to 47, the birth of the church and a beautiful picture of the fellowship of the believers. So English Bible translator J.B. Phillips puts it this way. Here we are seeing the church in its youth, valiant and unspoiled, a body of ordinary men and women joined in an unconquerable fellowship never before seen on this earth. This is the church as it was meant to be. And Daryl Johnson, a pastor and theologian from Vancouver, says this about the birth of the church. A different kind of community began to emerge. A spirit-invaded community, a spirit-occupied community, a spirit-inundated community, a spirit-cleansed community, a spirit-enlivened community, a spirit-animated community. The first fruits of the new community, alive in the new human, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Here we are witnessing the first fruits of the church and in their complete love and commitment to Jesus and to one another. This community that Luke describes is a glimpse of heaven on earth. And going back to the theme of practicing the faith, what wisdom can we glean from the early church and how can we apply it to our lives today? So there are three characteristics of the early church that I would like us to reflect on. The first one is their devotion, the second is their generosity, and the third is their joy. And so in the next verses it says this. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. They were devoted. And so according to scholars, that word can be translated as persevered in. And so if we look at this passage again, it says that the early church persevered in the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. There's a sense of being constant in their attention, and there's a persevering commitment to Jesus and to the community of the believers. When I first became Christian in university, I was encouraged to have devotional times with God. And what this looked like for me is I was encouraged to choose a book from the Bible and to read a chapter a day. And sometimes I had a devotional book, and an old favorite that was given to me was My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. Did any one of you read that book too? Nice. So where I would read a short passage every day, and usually at the start of the day, when I was a student, and life was a little less complicated and a little less distracting. So this was a time when not everyone had smartphones. And so I also lived in a community house, and I was encouraged by my fellow Christians who would get up early in the morning and have their Bibles in one hand and coffee in the other hand. And these quiet times were really transformational. It helped me to be more attentive to the nudges of the Holy Spirit throughout my day. And fast forward to now. So just this past week, during our small group at church, we've been going through a series, which is the Lectio Divina course by Pete Gregg from the 24/7 prayer. And Pete talks about cultivating time in our daily lives to meet with Jesus. And just this past week during our small group, it was very convicting to confess to one another that each of us weren't actually spending a whole lot of time with God. We weren't cultivating that space. And so our devotion to Him over time has faded. And so I think this is why it's very important for us to reread this passage with a new lens and notice that the infant church persevered in their devotion to Jesus and to one another. I've been struck by a book title by Eugene Peterson called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And as we persevere in our faith, I find that that book title strikes true. As Christians, we're called to persevere in our devotion to Jesus. Sometimes it feels like putting one foot in front of the other as we walk this lifelong pilgrimage of faith. There will be times in our journey when we feel closer to God, and there will be times when it might feel like He's very far away. But our calling as Christians and the encouragement and wisdom from the early church is that we are called to persevere in our devotion to Jesus and to not give up in meeting one another. Also, it's important to note that when Luke wrote this image of the early church, he knew that what he was witnessing was an idealized version of community life. So not long after he penned this scene, we are introduced to complications, to tensions, and even corruption within the church. There needed to be confrontation, restoration, and healing within the community. But I think what Luke is doing here is that he's giving us a vision of what Christianity could look like should we persevere in our love and devotion to Jesus and to the community. So moving on to the second observation, the early church practiced generosity and hospitality. Now we're going to move to Acts 2:46, and it says, "Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received food with glad and generous hearts." We live in Edinburgh. And people here, I noticed, quite like their privacy. And honestly, sometimes I want to be left alone too. But the challenge for us is how do we open the spiritual doors of our hearts to the other? And also the practical physical doors of our homes or our lives to practice the ministry of hospitality. When I served as a campus pastor at UBC, I witnessed the power of hospitality firsthand. I experienced it first as a student, and then later when I joined the staff team and worked on campus for a number of years. I became a Christian during my second year of university, and how I came to faith was a mixture of experiencing a very low point of my life and a serendipitous God-orchestrated invitation by a new friend to visit her church. But what deepened my faith is the fellowship that I found at a Christian community at UBC. And so this experience reminds me a little bit about the fellowship we see in Acts 2. So our imperfect little campus ministry was in a dilapidated community house occupied by students within our ministry. And they kept an open door policy and hosted countless events, prayer nights, and worship services, and impromptu hangouts. This small, imperfect community taught me about being hospitable and generous in spirit and showed me the kind of family that can be born out of loving Jesus and one another. It was through this ministry of hospitality that I saw students come to faith. I saw students encounter Jesus through a meal shared, through conversations in that rundown community house. And so here in Acts 2, Luke the doctor gives us a glimpse of what the church was like in its infancy. The story here reminds me of pure and earnest pursuit of Christ and community that sometimes fade as we become more experienced Christians. And maybe if we're honest enough to admit it, we can sometimes become hardened over time or even a bit cynical. I love rereading Acts, especially this passage, because it reminds me of what Christian fellowship can look like, and it gives us a glimpse of a little piece of heaven on earth where brothers and sisters are living in unity. And so the challenge for us is this: how do we practice the ministry of hospitality in our everyday lives? Again, back to the theme of practicing faith, how do we carve out times and spaces where we are open to the work of the Spirit, to be generous with our time and with our resources? I have a very small example that happened quite recently for me, and that is I've been volunteering at the chaplaincy at Harriet Watt during my lunch hour. And to be completely honest, I don't go there every week, especially when days are quite busy with my work. But I go there on the occasional Tuesday for soup and just to hang out and chat with students. And God, in his kindness, has already really encouraged me during these moments of carving out time for a simple shared meal. So the chaplaincy at Harriet Watt is for students of all faiths or none. And I've had a very encouraging several conversations with students. And very recently, I bumped into one of the students at a church service in the city. And this student told me that he was at church, not because he's Christian, but because he likes the music and the vibe. And so it's been really encouraging now having these great conversations with this student and having these spaces of hospitality for conversation. And my prayer is that my new friend will encounter Christ. And so speaking about practicing faith, are there small opportunities in your life to open the doors of your heart to others? And what could this look like in your specific context? My final point is they exhibited joy and a simplicity of heart. So in Acts 2:46, carrying on, Luke says that the early church was marked by great joy, a gladness, and a simplicity of heart. That sight must have been beautiful to behold. A community of people who are so filled by the Spirit and full of joy in their fellowship with Christ and with one another. And so how can we as individuals and as a community be a people marked by joy? This is the point where we must remember that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. One translation says that the term gladness in Acts points to the eschatological joy in the presence of the Lord. So God was present in their midst. The joy and simplicity of heart we witness here is due to the transformative power of the Holy Spirit. And biblical scholar David J. Williams says this about the simplicity of heart that was evident in the early church. So he says, by modern standards, the early church, may have been naive, but perhaps because of their very simplicity, perhaps because of their readiness simply to believe, to obey, to give, to suffer, and if necessary, to die, the Spirit of God found that he could work in them and through them, and so they turned the world upside down. What the book of Acts reminds us is we don't do this faith thing on our own. We don't do it in our own strength. Without the Spirit, we are in danger of burning out. We are reminded here that as we put our faith into practice, we have the fellowship of the believers who help point us back to Jesus. And more amazingly, we have the promise, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God who desires to fill us and transform us. So the people that we read about today in Acts are normal, ordinary people. They were first century human beings who were afraid, and they gathered together in prayer in the upper room on that fateful morning, probably confused because they just had witnessed Jesus' ascension. They saw him murdered on the cross, resurrected from the dead, and then he's gone again. It must have been confusing and terrifying. They were men and women who were anxious and felt abandoned. They were perplexed and uncertain of what this faith thing in Jesus is all about. And so what we see in Acts 2 is the birth of the church, filled with the Spirit, a people who are utterly dependent on God. Here we witness God's faithfulness, that the Advocate has come as our helper in our time of need. It is through the Spirit that the mighty acts of the apostles are performed. And so here we are, 2,000 years later. We are modern-day people who have everything we need and information accessible to us, that more than information than we have the capacity to digest. How do we, as modern day people, depend on Jesus? How do we live Spirit-led lives when we are constantly bombarded by daily distractions? Perhaps today, in the theme of practicing faith, the exhortation for us is to go back to the start, back to the simplicity and gladness of heart and devote our lives to Jesus. The good news for us today is that in every situation, the Holy Spirit promises to be with us, to be our counselor and advocate, our helper, in the midst of the varied situations we find ourselves in. In the upper room discourse in John, Jesus promises that he will not leave us as orphans, but he will give us the counselor to guide us into all truth. The Spirit of God is with us today, and he longs to fill us, empower us, transform us, and accompany us in our everyday lives. As I was praying about what to share today, I felt that the call is for us to go back to our first love. I was really struck by the picture of the early church and the way that they were so devoted and so in love with Jesus, that the image that came to mind was that of Mary of Bethany, the woman who poured the perfume on Jesus' feet. In Acts 2:42-47, we are witnessing this beautiful, fragrant, bewildering, lavish generosity and love for Jesus and for one another. These first Christians were so filled with joy and simplicity towards Jesus that it is both shocking and beautiful. And so I feel that the call to simplicity today is very important, especially in the age of information overload. Perhaps our call is to go back to the start and to glean wisdom from the early church. Jesus says that we can only truly be fruitful for the kingdom if we are connected to the vine. So the encouragement and wisdom from the early church is to go back to the start and to apply these daily practices that form the foundation of our faith. We can then trust that as we cling to Jesus, that he will lead and guide us, and perhaps even to mighty acts for the kingdom of God. Before I close, I want to share about a trip that I took to a little town called Taizé in France this past autumn. I heard about Taizé and its ecumenical monastic community years ago when I was in Vancouver, but I wanted to witness and experience this community firsthand. And what I found there was an embodiment of modern-day devotion, generosity, hospitality, simplicity of heart, and a joy that truly reflects the picture of the early church we've been contemplating this afternoon. So Taizé is ecumenical in practice, and what I mean is that people from all ecclesial and denominational backgrounds, whether Catholic or Protestant, Orthodox or Baptist, can come together and worship Jesus. To me, it presented a beautiful picture of the unity of the body of Christ. It is a place where they continue to persevere in love and in the hard work of reconciliation towards one another, regardless of their tradition. And as a result of this beautiful unity, people are drawn to their community from all over the world. So in closing, I want us to consider ways that we can embody the kind of unity and love that we've been reflecting on this afternoon in our own context here in Edinburgh. What would it look like for us as a body to persevere in our devotion to Jesus together, to practice hospitality and generosity, to live Spirit-filled lives, that we are overflowing with joy and a simplicity of heart? We cannot do this on our own. And so my prayer for us today is that God will fill us with the Spirit and transform our lives so that we can be vessels of God's healing and reconciliation to our hurting world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are faithful, and thank you for the gift of the Spirit that is available to us today. And so, God, I pray, Lord, even in this moment, that you would come, that you would fill our hearts and minds with your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this gift is available for us today. And so, Jesus, I ask, God, that you would transform our hearts and our minds, that you would mold and shape us, Lord, into your likeness. And so, God, today we thank you for this opportunity to reflect on the early church And I pray, God, that we can apply what we learned from this infant community, Lord, in our everyday life. We pray these things in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.